So I'm very thankful to be a part of this and to be able to get into the great book of Thessalonians and to be able to be here. Hey, did you notice it's getting warmer outside? Some of you guys didn't. I did. I tell you what. It's global. Maybe. It hasn't been global so far this winter, but you know, it's getting warmer. I looked on the weather.com. And if you look on weather.com, you can see the mean temperatures and the average temperature for every day in the whole year. And I'd like to tell you, right about now is when the weather changes. Now, every day on an average, it gradually gets a little warmer and a little warmer. And that's good, because I could also say it another way, and that is, now is the coldest time of the year. But you know, I'd rather think of that way, that you know what? It's getting warmer outside, because in my mind, I'd rather look forward to something really good in the future. And that's kind of like the book of Thessalonians. We can go all day long thinking about how screwed up life is. On the other hand, we can look forward to something really, really good in the future. This is a teaching series. We call it a teaching series because it's a little less formal. It's an overview. Overview is an overview. It doesn't have a lot of details. If you'd like to work the material further, you sure can. This is only 3 different sessions, 6 hours of teaching, but you could work it further in your own life. And because it's an overview, it's a little shorter, but also more people could be able to come. As far as homework goes, there's a book called God's Magnified Word. The homework for today is chapter 6 and chapter 10 in God's Magnified Word. Here is a book, Are the Dead Alive Now? The man who taught us God's Word the most was Dr. Werwell, and he thought that this work here was the work that people really neglected more than any of his other books. And this would be really great to read during this time period. So basically, the reason I'm saying this is, it's not only just going somewhere and, you know, hearing a nice teaching, but it's also in our own life developing habit patterns of studying, habit patterns of working the Word in our own life. How many of you guys are students? Raise your hands. Not too many students. How many have been students in your life? Some of you don't know if you ever were a student. That's not a good sign. Okay, but you know what? We learned, we went to school, and we learned to read a lot, do a lot of cool things. Why don't we take what we learned and then also apply it to God's Word, you know? Because we didn't just go to school to learn to make money and get a career. We learned to go to school to read, to think, to understand things, and what a better thing to learn and to understand than God's Word. So my suggestion, if you want to work this thing further, is do the homework. Get into it. Read the book of Thessalonians. Read Acts chapter 16 through 18 and develop now some habits. Now, some of us have been in the Word since the Apostle Paul. You know, and maybe if you've been in the Word for 2,000 years, maybe you read this when Paul was alive. But you know what? If you haven't read it in 2,000 years, you might want to read it again. Okay? So, no more on that. Okay? Now, take your Bibles. We're going to get to the Bible in a minute here. There's 3 doctrinal epistles. What are the 3 doctrinal epistles? Who knows? Nobody knows. Okay. Only 2 people in the room know? Come on. Okay, Chrissy, go ahead.
Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians.
3 doctrinal epistles. The church epistles are broken down or they have a certain order. The order never varies in the Bible. In the Old Testament, some of the books vary in the ancient texts, but the church epistles, they never vary because they're in a certain order. There's Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians correspond to Romans. If you ever read Corinthians and Galatians, some of the things in there sound very much like Romans, but put it another way. In Ephesians is another doctrinal epistle. Philippians and Colossians sound a lot like Ephesians, and put it another way, because they're reproof and correction. The homework in God's Magnified Word, chapter 10, will help explain this. And this is a good thing to really know and understand. Romans is the foundational doctrine. Ephesians is the mystery. Romans is about the gospel, which was promised before. And then Ephesians is about the great mystery. It was a mystery, and it wasn't in the Old Testament. And Thessalonians sets on top. Romans shows the believer dead and raised. Ephesians shows the believer seated in the heavenlies. And Thessalonians shows the believer glorified together with him. There's reproof and correction that follow Romans, which is Corinthians and Galatians. There is reproof and correction which follow Ephesians, which is Philippians and Colossians. There's no reproof and correction which follow Thessalonians, because we're going to be somewhere else and it's not needed up there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So in the book then, in the canonical order or the order in the text, Thessalonians is always last because it's the last event. The hope is the last event of this administration. However, it was the first book written. It was the first of the epistles written. And God had Paul to write this epistle because the believers needed a knowledge of the hope to stand in this wicked city of Thessalonica or Thessalonica, however you want to pronounce it. Okay, take a look at your map here, okay? On the back of this map is a little assignment if you'd like to do that. All right. This is a map of the lands around the Mediterranean Sea. In the bottom right corner, we see Jerusalem. Everybody see it there? All right. Now, this is a map of the second itinerary of the Apostle Paul. This basically starts in Acts 15 and ends in Acts 18. So say starting from Antioch, we'll see there, Antioch, you go up and you see Antioch, that's Antioch of Syria. Okay, Antioch of Syria. And then Tarsus, you see Tarsus on the map? Everybody see it? Tarsus, who was from Tarsus? Anybody know? You get a free cookie at the break. Very good. Free cookie for you, Mike. Okay, now, then we're going to go to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. On this itinerary, Paul left Antioch, and he had a guy named Silas, or Silvanus, who was with him. Silas is another word for Silvanus. And that was Acts 15. In Acts 16, they meet a young guy named Timothy, and Timothy travels with him, and this is right in this area of Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium. Then there's another Antioch right here, and this is the country of Turkey, modern-day Turkey today, and this is the region of Galatia right in here. Then, going west, I believe this is west, we come to the great city of Troas. Troas. Now, Troas is very close to another city frequented by a wonderful modern-day gentleman, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was in Troy, if you saw that movie. So Troy is right over there by Troas, okay? So you go Troas, Troy, it's right around there. So this is still Turkey. Now, Paul gets the Macedonian call. Michael's going to share on that later on. And then we go to the city of Neapolis and Philippi. That's Acts chapter 16, okay? Then we go through Amphipolis and Apollonia. Apollonia was a girl in Prince's band. Okay. There you go. She was very old. Okay, now, so Amphipolis and Apollonia. Then, this is Acts chapter 17, Thessalonica or Thessalonica. Then Paul goes to Berea. Paul goes to Berea, and then he goes south. He goes to Athens. He goes to Athens, and then he goes to Corinth after Athens. Corinth, as in Corinthians, and then he goes back to Ephesus and goes all the way down. So this is his second missionary journey, and tracing the stuff in the book of Acts might be helpful to do this. Now let's look at Acts chapter 17 and in verse 1. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. We want to read this because the book of Thessalonians was written after Paul had visited the Thessalonian believers. So a lot of what was said in the book of Thessalonians is in reference to what happens in Acts chapter 17. So we need to go back and see what happened in this wonderful little section of scripture here. Acts chapter 17. Now let's look at Acts chapter 17, okay? Acts 17 and in verse 1. This is exciting. This is the principle of scripture buildup, because we're looking at different places in the Word to get information on the same incidents. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 1. Here we go. And when they had passed, this is Paul and Timothy and Silas, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica or Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of what? So what did Paul give them? Easter eggs? No, Paul gave them the word. Paul gave them the word. He went to where the people were, and he spoke the word of God. Now look at this. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So he spoke the word to them, didn't he? You know what he did? He had them go to the book of Romans, and he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of... Or then he went to the book of Ephesians, and then he said, I, Paul, an apostle, and by the way, I'm reading this here, and by the way, I am the apostle Paul. Check that out. It's right here in the Word. You guys better listen to me, because I have the Greek text here. Did he do that?
No.
Why didn't he?
It wasn't written.
When he went there, he didn't go turn to Corinthians. Hey, I'm the Apostle Paul. I wrote this stuff. He didn't say go to Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians or Romans. You know why? Because none of that was written. So if he was talking to them out of the scriptures, we do know it wasn't the church epistles. You know, us today, and this is a good habit you should do, go home. Go home and look at this stuff that you're being taught by me or whoever else. And look at, see if it's in the Word. Well, when he was talking some of this to them, he couldn't check out the church epistles because they weren't written. And yet they believed him. Look, and verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is who? So he preached the resurrection, right? Okay, verse 4. Verse 4. Somebody with a loud voice would like to read. Anybody want to read? Okay, Elke, go ahead. Verse 4.
Okay, verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And out of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few.
Good. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them believed. And consorted with Paul and Silas. They believed, and these were the guys that hung out with Paul and Silas. Isn't that great? When people believe the word brings people together. Why did they want to hang out with Paul and Silas? Because they were Pittsburgh Steelers fans? They were all into the Super Bowl? No, they hung out with them because they taught them the word. It was the word that brought them together. They wanted to spend time with them. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great what? Greeks, they were the Gentiles. A lot of Gentiles turned on. And of the chief women, what? They had the chief women. They probably had meetings at the women's clubs because they had connections with the chief women in town. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, and a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. God's word was moving in a wonderful way. Did Paul do anything wrong? All he did was speak the word. Verse 5, now watch this. But the Jews, which did what? They were moved with the love of God, their renewed mind in manifestation, and they went around and hugged each other and was so blessed to have the great apostle Paul in their neighborhood. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with what?
Envy.
Oh my God, look at the crowds these guys are getting over there. Man, I wish people would be into this like that. They were moved with envy. And took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Lewd fellows of the baser sort. These were guys that hung out at the marketplace that were kind of shady and had a lot of time on their hands. We might say sketchy dudes that hang out at the mall, possibly. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Okay. So they got these guys and gathered a company and set all the city on a what? On an uproar. They set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out of the people. So why was everybody in an uproar? Did Paul do something wrong?
No.
How did they get in an uproar?
They didn't believe.
Those guys that didn't believe, they were envious. And they got these other dudes who were kind of whacked, and they got them all into their movement, and then they went over to the house of the Sinardos. The whole town was in an uproar. All of Rutherford and a bunch of people all out there were out there saying, "Hey, I think you have the Apostle Paul in there, Nick. Let me have him. I want him. Hey, Maria, I know you cook well, but I want to get the Apostle Paul. And that guy, Timothy, you have him in there. I don't care what you're doing. Get him out." That's what that says. Did they do anything wrong?
No.
No. And what was the motivation here? Envy. Sometimes not everybody likes the Bible. I'm sure all of us have realized that by now. Look at this. The whole city on an uproar and assaulted the house of the Sinardos and sought to bring them out to the people. Whoa. Verse 6. Chrissy, could you read that, please?
And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also."
You know, the world is kind of messed up, right? It needs to be turned upside down a bit, doesn't it? They that turn the world upside down. When God's word starts to move, people change. And if a whole bunch of people change, that changes some things around. And these guys have heard of Christianity and they didn't like it. And, whoa, it's here in my neighborhood and I'm jealous, I'm envious, I don't want any part of it. I'm going to do whatever I can to stop it. Is that godly? That's fighting against the things of God. And sometimes there's resistance to the things of God, as we've experienced from time to time. So, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." Wow. Verse 7. And whom Jason hath received. He took him in their house. That's the accusation. "And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one who." Ah, they're getting political now just to get him in trouble. Oh, they're doing things contrary to Caesar. Were they really all that political? They were envious. That's what the word says. So they were trying to get him in trouble. Verse 8. "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go." You know what security means? Bail. Bail. Took a little bail. "Hey, Jason, we'll let you go, but you know what? You're going to give me some money." You know. So they took him downtown. They took him downtown to all the chief people. They took him downtown, interrogated him, questioned him. "You had Jason there. We'll let you go, but you know what? You know, give me some bail." Did Jason do anything wrong?
No.
You know. Who did he have in his house? The Apostle Paul? He might have had Timothy. Man, if he did do that, what an honor, what a privilege. But there were people in this wicked city that all they wanted to do was stop the move of God's word. And they got other people who were kind of clueless with nothing to do, and they went and joined their cause. And these believers did nothing wrong. You know why the book of Thessalonians was written? The book of Thessalonians was written so that people could understand the hope and stand in this area where there was so much opposition against the Word of God. What a really interesting thing. Okay, now let's look at this. Verse 10. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Can you see good things at nighttime very well? The whole town, they wanted to get Paul, didn't they? Remember that? They wanted to get Paul. When did they get Paul out of there? Night. They got him out of there at night. And they got him to Berea. And then he goes down there in verse 11. Somebody read verse 11 for me loud, okay? Who'd like to read? Anybody? Okay, Caitlin, go ahead.
Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Is that a good habit to get into? Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's a great habit. Why not get into the word every day? Why not have a ready mind? You know, we have a golden retriever at our house. It's Honey the dog. Honey the dog is a very nice dog. When Honey has food in front of her, she has a staid mind. She attacks that food and she eats it because she's really, really hungry. That's kind of how we should be with God's word in a way. If we have it in front of us, our mind should just be so into it so that we receive it. But then we go home and we check it because we want to be sharp. We don't want to be strong in Harbor Light Fellowship. We don't want to be strong in Steve Zaletsi. That is horrible. We don't want to be strong in Nick Sinardo, our fellowship coordinator, our wife, our children, or anybody else. We want to be strong in God. So we go home and we work it in our own life to the end that we understand it. And look, something really cool happens in verse 12. Therefore, many of them did what?
Believed.
Look at that. Many of them believed. Look at that. Many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Why did the people believe there? Because they studied the word and they received it with all readiness of mind. If we want to believe the scriptures, that's not a bad habit to have. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea, they came from Maryland all the way to New Jersey to come and get blessed by God's word. Is that what happened?
No,
they went down there to harass Paul to stop the movement of God's word. That's not too cool. Now, verse 14. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So what happened was they get rid of Paul. They get him out of there because of the persecution. Verse 15. But Timothy and Silas stay back in Berea. And they conducted Paul, brought him to Athens. Okay, and we could read the rest of the verse. But Paul now is in Athens. And let's look at Acts chapter 18. We'll see at the next session that Paul sends Timothy back into Thessalonica to see how they're doing. Have you ever left a situation that's really bad? If you leave a place that's bad and you have to go home or you have to get out of there, you might pick up the phone the day after and call back and say, hey, how's everybody doing, right? Okay. Did the Apostle Paul have a BlackBerry?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how the believers were doing. And then in Acts chapter 18, when Paul was in Corinth, in verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified of the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Paul was pressed in the spirit. So Timothy and Silas came from Macedonia. So Thessalonica is in Macedonia. Paul was in Corinth. Macedonia is in northern Greece. They came down. Timothy had been, he had gone back to Thessalonica. He comes back and he tells Paul how the believers are doing. And then after that time period, we have Thessalonians written, probably from Corinth during this time. Paul was in Corinth, if you read the rest of Acts chapter 18, a month and a half. So during this time, right around 52 to 54 AD, the book of Thessalonians or the books of Thessalonians were written from Corinth, okay, right at this time, after Timothy comes back with the news of how they were doing. So with that introduction then, let's look at 1 Thessalonians, okay? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So Thessalonians was written from Corinth after Timothy had given Paul the report of what was going on. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians was written to give people hope. To give people hope because it was rough in that town. Can you imagine getting in the Word and you go to fellowship and go, wow, it's so cool over there, man. Everybody loves me. I'm learning the scriptures. Everything is so great. And man, I love those people. And even the food is good over there. And I just love those guys every time. But you know what? I went home and now people don't like me. And people want to throw my buddies in jail. And I don't understand that. That's kind of like what it was like. Hey, you know, we have it pretty good in this country, I think. Now, I understand there's things wrong in this country. Would you agree there's things wrong in this country?
Yeah.
All right, raise your hand. Would you agree? However, there's a lot of things right in this country. For example, there are countries in the world that if you convert somebody to Christianity, you could go to jail. Did you know that? Maybe there's countries too, I'm sure, that doing what we're doing right now is illegal. Just sitting here reading the Bible, it's illegal. Converting somebody to Christianity, definitely illegal. You go to jail for that. Going to jail for telling somebody Romans 10:9? That's bizarre. So you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. Maybe the economy could be better. Maybe my mother-in-law could be better. By the way, I have a great mother-in-law. There's a lot of... There's things that we could improve in this country, but we have freedom. You know, I was in Jerusalem many years ago, kind of close to where the temple was in Bible times. And it was on the day of Pentecost, and we had an idea. Thought, wouldn't it be cool to have prayer and manifestations in the temple area, right, just like they did in the book of Acts? So it was on the day of Pentecost, it was early in the morning, and we were like, there, and we were holding hands, and we were like, you know, starting to pray. Over walks these two guys with Uzis, and they said, you know, excuse me, you have to move. Get out. Move. I just kung fu'd his butt and just... No, I didn't. We moved. But you know, in this country, I've never had an Uzi shoved at me for praying. Have you? And you know, there's a lot of things in this country that are wrong. But you know what? We have answers, don't we? We have some answers that we can help. People need to know that God's their sufficiency. People sometimes, when things get rough, they go back to God because they see their religion isn't quite as good as what they thought. Their man-made religion in their own brain. We have a lot to be thankful for, that we could even sit here and read God's Word. There's a lot of countries in the world need to know who the Savior is. So, let's look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, which is unto the church of Thessalonians, Paul, Silvanus, that's Silas. Remember we saw him? Paul and Silas started out in Acts 15. Timothy joined him in Acts 16, and they went to Thessalonica in Acts 17. Paul, Silas, and Timotheus, now they're writing them after they had been there, unto the church. What does the word church mean? Church means a bunch of believers getting together. You know, the church, the group at Thessalonica. Of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our what? That's a cool way to start off something, isn't it? Is, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. At the end of this book, Paul encourages them to pray for him. Remember, those of you who sat through the teaching on Romans, Paul also in the beginning of Romans tells them that he's praying for them. At the end of Romans, he encourages them to pray for him. Pretty neat, I think. Now, let's look here at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of envy and your labor of jealousy and your lack of patience. No. Remembering without ceasing your work of what?
Believe.
Work of believing. It's cool to believe, isn't it? You know, if I really believe, that's going to help me work, isn't it? Why? Because I'm believing God's going to bless me and all these different things and we're doing this and what a positive, cool thing. Paul had left there and he knew that they were pushing themselves despite of the pressure. And in the beginning of this, he writes, hey, I remember your work of believing. Remembering without ceasing your work of believing and your labor of what?
Love.
Labor of love. You know that everything that we do out of the love of God is blessed. There's a blessing to it. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. The word labor means we push ourselves to the point of fatigue. So this is why you did it. Your work of believing and your labor of love. That's why they did it. It's cool to love. It's cool to believe. You know why? Because also that helps us to push ourselves, isn't it? If we love, we give, we serve, and that's really good. Remembering without ceasing your work of believing and your labor of love. Because we love, we labor. And Paul was remembering that. What a great motivation. Was that the motivation of the unbelieving Jews before? What was their motivation?
Envy.
Envy. Not a good motivation. Remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of love, and the word patience is the word endurance. Endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God our Father. They had endurance. They had endurance. Endurance of hope. See, that's what kept them going. The hope. Friday morning, when it's almost the weekend. Do you ever think to yourself, TGIF, quote unquote, thank God it's Friday? Only 6 more hours left? You're looking forward to something good in the future, right? We have the hope. The hope is something really, really good. And the hope keeps us going. You know, when you're young and you're 15 and 16 years old, having eternal life is not that big of a deal in some ways because you know you have the rest of your life left. I'm not thinking about living for eternity. I'm just 15 years old. Yeah, eternal life is nice. But you know what? I'm having a good time now. But you know, as you get older, and as you've noticed, I'm getting younger. Thank you very much. As you get older, you begin to think, well, hey, is there something else here? And we have hope and we have proof to all that. And it keeps us going. Because what's one lousy day compared to eternity? Nothing. What's 2 lousy days compared to eternity? Nothing. What's crying our eyes out and feeling like absolute garbage, getting fired from the job and having an absolute rotten month if I know that for the rest of my life I will live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ? Most of you heard this analogy before, but if Elkie Horn owned the beach over there in, where's your house, Elkie?
Ocean
Grove. She owns the beach in front of her house. And I go to her house and I have some sand on my shoes. And I am on her private beach over there, Will and Elkie's beach. And she comes over to me and she's all mad because I have a grain of sand on my shoe. And she flips out on me and she's so mad because I'm stealing a grain of sand from her private beach. Would you think that she was nuts? Thank you. See, they're all against you. I've whipped up the crowd against you. Why? Because Will and Elkie, they don't have a private beach, by the way, but they have all this millions and zillions and bazillion grains of sand, and she's in my face because I stole a grain of sand from her beach? No refreshments for you at the break at all. That's crazy. You know why? Because she has so much. Well, Jim, how many grains of sand on a beach, if you think it's, let's say, 100 yards by, could you do that in your head, please? Okay, we have the official word. Whatever it is, it's a whole lot, isn't it? And if she flips out on me, that's crazy. Now, we have eternal life. How much is eternal life compared to a shitty day? How about a shitty month? Does 1 month compare to all eternity? It might be like a grain of sand on a beach. So if Elkie's nuts because she's flipping out on me, then maybe we sometimes having a better perspective of the hope would be a little bit more sound thinking, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, now back to, you know, and me too. I could use some more sound thinking in this area. Hey, that's the hope. That keeps us going. 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. It wasn't just word, but it was in power. Word and power. There, people were healed, manifestations and operation. People spoke in tongues, interpret, prophesied. If you don't speak in tongues and you're in this fellowship, you ought to learn to speak in tongues. You know why I can say that? Because it's my opinion? No, it's the word. You ought to learn. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. That's the word that's related to fully persuaded in Romans chapter 4. We can know that we know that we know that we know. We don't have to have all these weird doubts that the Bible is true. We're to know that we know that we know. Look at this. For our joy came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. And that you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They knew him. They knew what he was about when he was there. Verse 6. And you became followers of who? Us. Followers of us. They followed Paul. I know we're supposed to follow God. However, they followed Paul. But Paul did what? Paul led him to the Lord. We don't follow people ahead of God. And ye became followers of us and of who? How did they become followers of the Lord? Paul led him to the Lord, right? The word follow is the word mimetes. It means to mimic. How many of you are parents in the room? Okay. Some of you aren't admitting it. Okay. You know, your kids, they mimic you, don't they? And you guys with little kids, you better watch your language in the house. You know why? Because you never know what your child is going to say to you because they mimic you. Many years ago when I first got in the Word, there was one of the leaders. He had a giant handlebar mustache. And those handlebar mustaches, they're not very popular today. But back in the 70s, in the 60s, times were different back then. And people had giant handlebar. And this guy, sometimes when he'd be drinking a little coffee, you know, and he'd go. He had a secretary. And this secretary, once in a while, she would do this. Now that's sick, isn't it? She didn't have a mustache, but somehow she learned a little habit of that. Why? Because she mimicked him. Paul was there, and they became mimics of him. They mimicked his walk in the Word. He taught them, and he showed them. And you know what? They followed. And look what happened here in Thessalonians. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much what? That means pressure. They had some pressure. Now, with what? Joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, who wants to be happy? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. You all pass. Who wants to be sad? Raise your hand. You know, it takes some kind of commitment to want to be happy or to want to be sad. Because if we don't want to be happy or if we don't watch it, we can focus in on all the negatives that have in people's lives, all the hurt that's happened. Oh, I remember every evil thing that every person has ever done to me in their life because I have a great memory and I want to hold on to everything because I just want. Do you think I would be a happy person? No, not at all. Great memory. But you know what? Very sad and very depressed. So instead of that, we ought to be committed to joy. We ought to be committed to being happy. We ought to be committed to staying blessed. Look at these guys. They got in the word and there was pressure, but they were happy. They were blessed. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. All the people in Greece, they were an example. The word example comes from a Greek word, tupos, which means a type. Paul and these believers, they made an impression. They were the model church. They were the model church, and the word of God sounded out from them. Verse 7, so that ye were examples, ye were types, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were models. They made an impression on all the believers. Why did they make an impression? Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, also in every place your believing to God word is spread, so that we need not speak anything. From Thessalonica, the word of God sounded out all over the place from that area. Well, the same thing is happening today in New Jersey a little bit. People are hearing the word in other places because people speak the word and it goes out. We're helping people here and in other places. It's great. So look at that. The word sounded out in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your believing to God word is spread abroad. So we need not speak anything. So, what were these believers noted for? They were noted for arepas. They were noted for ouzo. They were noted for spanida copita. Were they? Does it say here they were noted for food? What were they noted for? What did the believers know them about? Read it. Tell me. What?
They're believing.
They're believing. They spoke the word, number one, all over the place, and people all over had heard that these dudes believe the word. That's what that's about. Let me tell you what a great reputation that is. And these were people that had some situations. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Hey, these guys, you know, it's in their life. They're proof of what we did. What mannering of entering in we had unto you. And number one, they turned to God from idols. That's a good thing to do. Get rid of all those idols they had in Greece back then. No more Zeus and all that stuff. To God from idols. And number two, to serve the living and true God. They left the idols and then they served. That's kind of the cool thing in our life. We change from the world to God, and then we learn to serve. And then the last thing here, and to wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what?
Wrath.
Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Are we going to go through wrath? No. Now, there might be somebody who comes around on Saturday morning saying that we're in the book of Revelation and we're going through wrath. According to the scriptures, that's not it. But you know what? This is a sad thing. Sometimes religions or preachers, whoever, people use the fear of wrath and guilt to entrap and to motivate and to enslave people. Believers are not going through wrath, and we don't have to walk around with a lot of guilt. No guilt at all, because we're righteous. So, no wrath. And you know, this is kind of a theme verse of the book of Thessalonians, the first one. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. No more wrath, no more of any of those things. So what a wonderful thing that happened in the book here in Thessalonians. Paul went there and there was a lot of pressure, but these guys took that pressure and they spoke the word of God, and the word of God moved out all over the place. We looked at some cool things in the map to see Paul, where he was and all this stuff, and we looked at kind of a background on the epistle. And you know what? We're saved from the wrath to come, and he is coming back. So to close this teaching this morning, I thought we'd play a little game, okay? So, all right, you ready? Now, to play this game, I'm going to point like this. When I point like that, then you guys say, he's coming back, okay? Now, ready? I'm going to point, and you say, he's coming back. Ready?
He's coming back.
Nah, come on, you could do better than that. Ready?
He's coming back!
Okay, everybody together.
He's coming back!
If you've had a bad day.
He's coming back!
If you've had a bad month.
He's coming back!
If you've had a bad year.
He's coming back!
If your life sucks.
He's coming back!
If the girl you like hates your guts.
He's coming back!
If you've had a fight with your wife before you came here today.
He's coming back!
On the serious side, if you lost a believer and he's awaiting the return,
he's coming back.
If you have trouble finding a job,
he's coming back.
If people don't like you because you're a Christian,
he's coming back.
For those of you who know a little about the stars, the earth has an axis and it points directly to a star in the sky, and that's the North Star. All of the earth points to one particular place in the sky, and that's the North Star, also called the Pole Star. The earth's axis points to the Pole Star, or the North Star. As the Pole Star, the destiny of all believers, all of us and all other Christians that have ever lived and will live in the future, the destiny of all of us points to the fact that we'll all be together with him for eternity. Why?
He's coming back.
Thank you very much.